Hey, everybody, this is Gene Troyer. I'm the lead pastor of Restore Church, and what a pleasure it is to welcome you to our podcast. It's my hope that you will be marked by love and encouraged in your faith and inspired to become all God has created you to be. Now, I invite you to lean in and enjoy the podcast. Okay, we have been in a series called The Way of Jesus, and we've talked a lot about the way of Jesus. How do we live according to the way of Jesus? We've talked about that since almost day one of Restore, and we're in this series that's based on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And today I want to talk to you about humanly speaking. Now, the book of Proverbs has so much wisdom. It's the wisdom book. It has so much wisdom for us to glean from it. And I love this passage in chapter 18, verse 21. Simple statement of death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Simply stated, words matter. Words carry a lot of weight. Lives, our lives, my life, your life, has been formed with words. Words that have been said to us. Has your life been formed by words that have been said to you? I know mine has. Has your life been formed by words that have been spoken over you? So there's just a distinction there, to you or over you. Words that have been formed, words that have formed your life, that have been spoken over you. I would imagine that some of us, our lives have been formed by words that have been said at us. And for sure, our lives have been formed by words that have been said about us. About us. Words carry so much weight. Have you ever been crushed by someone's words? That girl that you were in love with, that wasn't in love with you, that said, I just want to be friends. Oh, but I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be just your friend. Those can crush us. What hasn't been said to you? What are the words that are unspoken in your life? I meet with a lot of guys, and there are father wounds in these men's lives because of words that have never been spoken to them. Most often, it's a really short stanza, three words. Their father has never looked at them and said, I love you. They've never been told by their father, I believe in you. What are the words that have been left unspoken in your life that you feel this morning, right now? Now, on the flip side, have you been transformed by words? Have words been spoken to you that have transformed your life? What are those words? What are the words that have made the light bulb go on and you for the very first time see your value? You see what you bring to the world around you. What are the words that have been said to you that actually transform you? There was a young man, and We often know him as the rich young ruler. He was looking for transformation in his life. He was looking for that word from Jesus that would completely transform his life. He said, what do I need to do to attain eternal life? And Jesus said, well, don't kill anybody. Don't murder. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit adultery. 10 commandments, right? Jesus kind of just down through them. And the guy says, well, yeah, but I've done all that. I'm good. And Jesus said, yeah, but. Take everything you have, sell it to the poor, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the young man heard that word that could have transformed his life, and instead he turns around and he walks the other way. That's too hard a word for him to actually step into, to actually put into action. And so he turns away. And Jesus' disciples, they hear all of this and they're like, how is this possible? If a rich man, because Jesus told this young guy, he said, it's easier for a rich man to get through the eye of for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And this is where the disciples then said, well, how is this even possible? How can anyone attain eternal life? And Jesus' words in Matthew 19:26 were, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. What's the situation you're looking at this morning and going, humanly speaking, I don't see it. Humanly speaking, I don't see it. But I'm going to trust that God can get me through this moment. I'm going to trust that God still, his truth still stands today, that with him, everything is possible. What's the state of your heart this morning as it pertains to what you believe is impossible in your life? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's your heart filled with this morning? What's your heart filled with this morning? As you think about this past week, what are the places where you kind of wish you would have done things differently? See, some of us think that it is not possible for us to stop having thoughtless reactions to the circumstances in our lives. Some of us have a seething anger just below the surface that pops up at the most inopportune times. And we look at that and we go, how is this possible that I could ever get beyond this? Jesus speaks to this in Matthew 5. Let me remind us that Matthew 5:17, Jesus tells us, this was the last the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5:17, Jesus tells his audience, hey, you guys all know the law and the prophets. You guys all know this. And I haven't come to abolish them. I haven't come to do away with them, but I've come to complete them, to fulfill them, to accomplish them. And now in verse 21, he steps into what is commonly called the first of 6 antitheses. Essentially, it's the you have heard it said, right? There's 6 of them. And this morning, we're in verse 21, where Jesus says, you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. Okay, so this is kind of like, sometimes we think of the 10 commandments as like these big 10 commandments. Well, honestly, not killing somebody is kind of a low bar, right? We don't usually feel like killing someone or actually step into murder. So it's kind of a low bar. But I say, Jesus says, see, we do the same thing as the Pharisees did. Hey, well, just don't kill anybody and you're going to be good. Like, just don't kill anybody. They forgot that the way of God, the way of Jesus actually calls us to more. And so Jesus says these words. He says, if you're even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. Whoa. Okay. And if that wasn't enough, he goes on and he says, if you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. Huh. He doesn't say, don't murder and don't even get angry with someone. He takes it a step further. says, now if you call someone an idiot, so if you look on someone with contempt, if you look on someone with disdain, I've called people an idiot. Let's be honest, so have you. If you haven't said it, you've thought it. Like, we've all thought that. Some of us have said it. Some of us need to repent of our contempt and disdain for other people. He's not done. Then he goes on and he says, and if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. So the repercussions keep growing. Judgment, and then the court, and then hell. Have you ever been cursed at? Well, maybe you have. Maybe you've been the curser. Have you cursed someone else? A couple years ago, I had an altercation with someone out here in the parking lot. And I had to think back and I wondered if I'd ever been talked to like that before. I got cursed. And, you know, I had to make a decision. How will I now live with this? And we can all decide. Are we going to hold a grudge? Are we going to write them off? Are we going to say, they're an idiot? Or are we going to look at them with love and grace and mercy? Fortunately, I chose love, grace, and mercy, and we still have a relationship. Last week, I had a great conversation, and I see a heart that is beginning to unfold and open. This is what it takes sometimes. We choose. We choose how we will respond. And in that moment, we can respond in ways that are going to engage people or in ways that say, yeah, you're stupid. Why would you talk to me like that? You're an idiot. See the difference? Like love and grace and mercy, contempt, disdain. I think we want to move into love and grace and mercy. Jesus then goes on and he says, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone is something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Let's consider this. Keeping our slate clean. If I have offended or if I have been offended, it's important as I worship this morning, as I'm standing here worshiping Jesus, that I consider, is my slate clean this morning? Do I need to go and have a conversation? See, I believe Jesus is calling us to action. He's calling us to do something about the slate that is not clean. Taking action. It's not just about avoiding some negative thoughts that I have and replacing them with positive thoughts. I'm a big proponent of that, by the way. Take the negative out, replace it with positive. That's really, really good. But if you have offended or someone has offended you, if you are living in a place where the slate is not clean, taking action, it goes beyond just removing negative thoughts and putting positive in. It requires us to take action, and it requires us to actually consider thinking more deeply, why do I think the way I think? Why do I do the things that I do? What's at the root cause? What's the root cause of this thinking that I'm doing? Because just like I have had more dandelions in my yard this year than I've had in a long time, and you know how hard it is to get one of those out by the roots? And I don't want to go get the tool, so I get lazy and I just reach down and I start wiggling that thing around. And finally, I might extract part of the roots, not all of them. I'm convinced they're all going to come back again. I know, negative thinking, right? I'm convinced that they're probably mostly going to be gone. So I'll just change that in front of you right there. So that's the way you do it. Replace negative with positive. Even if it's dandelions, sometimes those things are the things that actually are the things that cause us to get in a funk. We start thinking poorly because of the little things like a weed in my yard. It's ridiculous. But that's what we do. We get obsessed with the little things, and we don't observe the deep, dark things. We take care of the surface level things. We take care of that yellow flower before it goes into a seed pod. We don't get at the extraction of the root cause of our thought patterns. Verse 25, when you are on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you will be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the very last penny. I love this. I love this. While we are on the way, here he's talking about an adversary suing us, suing you, suing me, and taking us to court. When I read this, I see an encouragement. I see a mandate, not just encouragement, but a mandate for Christian living, for living the way of Jesus, that says, as you go along in life, resolve the conflict and resolve the moments in your life that are going to take you down a road you don't want to go down. Admit your wrongs. Be at peace with each other. Get a hold of the thing that you need to resolve. Resolve that, because the longer you wait, the more difficult it becomes. That's what I read into this. The longer I wait, the more difficult that conflict is going to be to resolve. Take care of it soon. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 writes these words, and he backs this up, and he says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down. So don't delay. Deal with the anger. Deal with it while you are still angry. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Yeah, pretty straightforward. Brenda and I, in conversations with couples, we often get to this point where we talk about, do you go to bed angry with each other, or do you resolve your differences before you go to bed? Like, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let the sun go down on your conflict that you have. Resolve it quickly, because if you don't, the devil will get a foothold, and it escalates. It doesn't usually de-escalate. It usually escalates. In verse 29 of Ephesians 4, Paul also gives this admonition. Don't use foul or abusive language. Now, this usually follows being angry. So if we don't resolve our anger, foul or abusive language is often a part of this. Let everything, okay, so here's something we can all do. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Sometimes when we are angry, we say things like, I just need you to hear this. You need to hear me out. What we need to say, we often do this. We often are convinced that what we need to say is more important than what others need to hear. What I need to say is more important than what you need to hear. And sometimes we do need to express ourselves. We do need to find ways to express ourselves. But sometimes listening is significant and important in the middle of conflict and anger. And to step back and say, what does the other person need to hear from me right now? Is it what I need to say, or is there something else that they need to hear? You ever been tempted to say, in the middle of a heated argument, or when there's anger involved, have you ever been tempted to say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Don't you think that when we say words like that, it's sort of like allowing ourselves to live under the way of Jesus instead of into the way of Jesus? It's like, I'm not perfect, so let me excuse myself. Often we excuse me, but accuse you. I excuse me, but I accuse you. If I don't say it out loud, I'm thinking it. If you don't say it out loud, I bet you're thinking it. You excuse yourself, but you don't give that grace to the other person. See, this is what's called lacking in spiritual maturity when we continue to live this way. When we continue to live where anger is out of control, when we lack self-control, when we need to say when we need to say things without listening to what the other person might need to hear. Spiritual maturity means like we, a bunch of us grow up in the, we are growing old in the church, but we have not grown up in the church. We're getting old in the church, but we're not growing up in the church. See, spiritual maturity is God's plan, but it's our choice. And spiritual maturity, when we begin to mature spiritually, to understand what the way of Jesus actually calls us to, we become different people. James 1, 19 to 20. James writes these words. You might know that I love the book of James. It's so practical and so insightful. He says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Here's what we must do. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Unrestrained human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." Have you ever seen a love relationship decades long being destroyed by anger? Have you ever seen an argument between a father and son escalate into chaos and the son storms out of the house? What's wrong with these situations? As we paint those pictures, what's wrong with this? Is it not that it lacks restraint? See, if we lack self-control, these are the chaotic circumstances we will experience. But if we exercise self-control, we can escape the hell that anger is going to create for us. So, if it's down there simmering, just waiting to pop up out of the surface, I'd encourage you, ask God, what am I not seeing in this moment? What is hidden? What is at the root cause of my anger? Because the Bible, you know, we see God being angry. We see moments where Jesus was angry. Be angry and don't sin is what we're called to. How do we do this? What's required? I believe humility is required. I believe curiosity is required. For you and I to tackle this hard subject of anger, humility is required. And you have to be curious. What's this about? What's this about? The other thing about this that we should consider is, are we angry at, like, are you angry at yourself or at other people? See, that's a relevant question too. Because if you've never forgiven yourself for whatever is in your past, you should consider that maybe you have unresolved anger toward yourself that shoots up out of the into the surface at the most inopportune times, and it may come out at other people, but it may be because things have been done to you or by you. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And see what happens this week when you encounter the difficulties of life, when you encounter conflict in your life. I hope you remember those three things. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Would you stand with me? See, I believe the way of Jesus is the way of love. It is not the way of ignoring evil or ignoring injustice. It is not the way of pride and selfishness. So when we are angry and we don't sin, we're going to be angry about a few things, and we're going to be angry about the effect of evil and injustice and pride and selfishness. We will mourn the lack of humility, the lack of grace, and the lack of mercy. But when we love, when we live into the way of Jesus, ultimately, he's pointing this out throughout the Sermon on the Mount. Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The way of Jesus is the way of love, it is the way of life, and it is the way of Jesus. This is our mandate as brothers and sisters in the faith, that we encourage each other, that we live into the way of Jesus, because the way of Jesus is the way of life. Let me pray for us. Father, this morning we again are really cognizant of those places in our lives where we kind of scratch the surface and we want to fix the things that keep up appearances. And we're reluctant to go under the surface. We are often comfortable with living under the way of Jesus instead of living into the way of Jesus. God, forgive us where we have failed, where we have not lived fully into all that you've called us to be. God, would you speak to us this week as we encounter the world around us, perhaps as we encounter ourselves, some of us for the first time, looking deeply. Maybe like an architect that is looking to see where the weak spots are in a building. We might look at the weak spots in our foundation or the structure that we have built, where the joints are failing. God, give us wisdom where we need it. Call us to more. Remind us of this encouragement this morning to listen, to be angry and not sin. God, help us. We want to speak love and grace and mercy into the world around us, to live into it, to believe it, to trust you in the process. That is what we hope for. That is what we want to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us for today's episode. Please rate and review us on Spotify and iTunes, and join us again for next week's podcast. We love you and pray blessing and peace over you and your family.